Part 29, Chapter 5. The treaty signing, Johnny was told, would be that afternoon. They came, Lord Dom and Dries Glutton, to the ops room. Dries seemed extraordinarily pleased.
I hear that the Earth representative arrived last night. Be sure he is at the signing.
Johnny glanced at his watch. It was mid-morning. He went to the room where they had put both the old war chief and Dunaldine. Dunaldine was up and dressed and seemed bright enough for all his bandaged face. Sir Robert was just groggily opening his eyes, so Johnny took Dunaldine back to ops.
I want you to take over this post. I'll stay for the signing, but right after that I'm getting out of here to search for Stormalong.
He spent some time genning Dunaldine in and then went back to Sir Robert. The old Scot was as grumpy as a bear. He was sitting on the edge of the bed with nothing much to cover his bony limbs and eating something Chief Chong Wan had brought him.
Treaty signing,
he grumped between bites.
Waste of time. They'll never keep any treaties. This is a beautiful planet here and they want it. I belong right up in Edinburgh helping dig those poor people out. Oh, you were right, McTyler. They all should have been at Cornwall.
Johnny let him finish his food and then, while he was having some tea, went out and got an atmosphere projector. And although Sir Robert spent much of his time muttering and railing about being absent from Scotland, Johnny briefed him carefully on events and what they could possibly do. When he had finished, he stood back.
I'm no diplomat. I proved that, and I'm no lawyer and I'm no banker.
'Tis a thin chance, but I'll do what you say.
That was all Johnny wanted. In mid-afternoon, they went to the conference room. Sir Robert was in his regimentals, Johnny in his helmet and black tunic. Nobody paid them much attention. The emissaries had drawn up the treaty Johnny had heard voted, and they had it on a big scroll, laid out in such a way that each emissary could walk up to the table where it lay, sign it, affix his seals, get the signature and pattern or print attested by the bank, and then go back to his seat. It was a sort of parade. Dries, Glutton, and Faljapan were the only ones who stood at the table. Sir Robert sat and fumed about wasting time, but he did so only in a very low voice and only to Johnny. They signed and signed. It took them almost an hour. Earth was the last signature, and Sir Robert went up and put down his name, got a match and melted some wax, and then smashed his big seal ring onto it. Dries drew a bank trace around it and held it up.
I hereby certify,
said Dries,
that the Galactic Bank has attested the authenticity of this Treaty of Kariba Earth. It is complete. May I suggest that immediate copies of it be transmitted to all ships concerned?
He spread the treaty out, pulled a small picto tracer from his breast pocket, and scanned it down the scroll. Johnny passed it to Dunaldine in ops for transmission and copies for themselves and all delegates and the bank. The Lord of the Hovens stood up.
I have received word that all prisoners were put down at the designated place and signed for by the Earth representative there.
Dries looked at Johnny. Word had come from Thor in mid-morning. There had been 7 pilots, 3 Russian soldiers, 2 Sherpas, and 1 Scot. 13 in all. They had been in fair condition. But since none of these invading ships had the kind of food terrestrials ate, they were suffering badly from starvation, and certainly would have died in months-long space travel. They had been rushed to Aberdeen for intravenous feeding and treatment of minor injuries. Thor had had a row with the Hovind officer in charge of the landing, for one of the pilots remembered another pilot he was sure the Tallneps had picked up. After sending the first group off, Thor had stood by, and sure enough, the Tallneps had another pilot, a German. It had taken 2 hours to get him set down. They swore that was all. Thor had then believed them.
Our officer attests we have the prisoners back,
said Johnny.